You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier this week, the government announced changes to climate change policy with a controversial response to the choice to delay the carbon neutral government program benchmark from 2025 to 2050. The move also shifts dynamics of decision making and consultation. The government has removed the requirement of advisory from the Climate Change Commission when developing emissions budgets, significantly altering the influence of the cross-partisan collective established through the Zero Carbon Act in 2019. I spoke with Adam Curry, Campaign and Movement Support Manager for climate organisation 350 Aotearoa, about these changes. Kia ora, Adam. What immediate consequences can we expect to see from this decision?
Well, we immediately saw the carbon price fall, which is basically an indication that the market says this plan or so-called plan will actually, you know, only increase climate emissions, because the carbon market basically says if the price is lower, it means that it's easier to emit fossil fuels. And so the market is expecting that it's going to be easier to emit fossil fuels, which means more emissions, more climate change, and of course more air pollution that threatens the all of our lives.
What changed between 2019 and Nationals' vote in favour of establishing the bipartisan Climate Commission and their approach today?
Yeah, well, I mean, the government clearly knows their climate plans don't stack up, and so they're gagging the very body that's designed to hold it accountable. National, as you said, proudly voted for a strong, independent climate commission in 2019, but today they're ripping a knife through the only bipartisan, you know, climate lifeboat we have. I really can't emphasize enough just how fundamental today is, or this is, in the government's climate approach, because it represents them backing out of their bipartisan commitment to maintaining the Zero Carbon Act as it stands. You know, in 2019, National voted in favour of a climate commission with the power to assess and critique climate plans of the government, but they're walking back on that commitment. So that, you know, when they're in opposition, they look good, they signed a bipartisan deal, they got it watered down in order to, you know, to get that commitment from National to support it. And now when the really push comes to shove, they're backing out. And I think it's really, I think New Zealanders are really disappointed in it. And it's also really bad for investor confidence, right? Like, investors and markets have been planning, you know, planning based on a zero carbon, have been planning based on the bipartisan commitments being made. And suddenly this government jumps out and changes everything. It's definitely not good for the economy. It's obviously not good for the climate either. So it's just a real... It's a real loss all round. It's just a real lose from this government. It's a real about turn.
And what institutionalised channels remain to criticise government action on climate plans?
Well, of course, there do remain some channels. You know, the Climate Commission still exists. There's the Independent Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment. But, you know, today's decision really does seriously undermine those independent channels. It seriously does change the ability for independent actors to criticise the government. It leads more and more just to journalists and to, you know, independent climate groups such as ours that are, you know, not part of the government. And so, you know, obviously when we say something, it's worth listening to. But ultimately, it's different when the government has an independent climate body. And the entire point of the Climate Commission was that, you know, left-wing governments may reduce emissions in one way and right-wing governments may reduce emissions in another way. But either way, there's an independent body to ensure that they do reduce emissions. And today's decision is a departure from that. It's saying, you know what, climate change isn't a priority for us, low power prices isn't a priority for us, and obviously, you know, clean air is not a priority for us. We know 1 in 10 New Zealand deaths is from air pollution, right? And this decision will lock in, you know, air pollution for decades to come. The net zero government program was, you know, scheduled to be net zero by 2025. The last couple of years of government inaction has obviously made that render that impossible because of the actions of this government. But pushing it to 2050, 25 years down the line, 25 years more of dirty air, expensive fossil fuels, it's just no real good way to go. And we've also seen this government massively, you know, look at spending money on gas terminals, spend up to $200 million on incentives for oil and gas companies. You know, it's extremely expensive for the taxpayer paying for these offshore energy, giving subsidies to these fossil fuel barons, while we could have free energy from the sun and the wind here produced in our communities and be more resilient when there's storms such as the one we saw last week, when communities get shut off, if they've got solar and wind in their communities, you know, they can still keep going, they can keep the lights on. But it's really nonsensical, and it's a really, I think people need to realise just how dramatic shift this is in the government's climate policy. This isn't just one more step, it's a really ginormous leap away from climate and away from common sense.
And what is your recommendation on the best path forward for an improved climate approach from Aotearoa's current position?
Yes, massive question. I mean, first of all, we need a comprehensive energy strategy. So we know the last energy strategy expired in 2021, but we haven't had any clear strategic direction on what our energy system will look like. So we need, you know, the government's a majority shareholder in three of the four gentailers, the big power companies. So the government has power to direct investment towards new renewables. We need the government to be planning for the energy strategy. We need them to be investing in renewables, especially community-based renewable energy. We need them to be investing in public transport, in active transport. We need the government to be decarbonising the heavy vehicle fleet. We need the government to be, you know, supporting communities to reduce energy, to reduce emissions in our own communities, and all the rest, right? Like, you know, we need a Ministry of Green Works to enable us to build the public homes, the low carbon infrastructure, and all the other things that we need. But this government is doing none of these things. And like a clean energy future is 100% ours for the taking. You know, we can have clean air. We can have good, reliable jobs that, you know, we can trust for decades to come. And we can have a clean climate and clean water and clean air. But this government is choosing to go along the unpopular route of expensive fossil fuels, listening to their fossil fuel mates in the lobbyist rooms, instead of listening to everyday New Zealanders that are impacted by this.
How can we mobilise New Zealanders to feel empowered to contribute to a clean energy future and a carbon neutral Aotearoa?
I think the most important thing is that people, well, first of all, to note, people are already taking action in their communities, right? When this government fails, communities step up. We're already seeing councils and community boards across the country continue with their climate plans. We're seeing them slash emissions in their communities. We're seeing people build community renewable energy in their communities so that it's efficient, the money stays in the community. And we're seeing all sorts of leadership from people on the ground in the same way that in America, Trump maybe tried to stall, you know, climate progress, but communities and states are leading in America in terms. We're seeing the same thing across the world. Communities are leading. So I think the main thing people can do is be part of a community, be part of a collective, work together. Yes, of course, you know, eating more vegetables and, you know, and biking to work is really important, and we need to be people doing that as much as possible. But we also need people to be acting in the communities and standing up to this government. If enough people say, we will not accept this, we're going to turf you out, the government will listen. So that's why we are being so vocal, and it's so important that all the New Zealanders who are being so vocal against this government and being against their attempts to wind back the climate progress that we've already made is extremely important. So we encourage people to, you know, continue leading their communities and have the government to actually step up instead of shutting down communities and telling communities what's best. Just let communities lead. Let us lead with our community solar and our roofs. And yeah, the other thing I'd also say is that, you know, that the carbon neutral government program was 100% necessary. We know that thousands of schools and hospitals are locked into a gas heating during a gas crisis and skyrocketing prices with no funding to decarbonize. And so it's really clear that today's announcement isn't just failure. You know, it's climate sabotage, plain and simple. If climate destruction was a crime, the government would be caught red-handed. And so, you know, instead of forcing communities to choke for 25 more years of fossil fuel air pollution, you know, we should be reducing emissions here at the source.
That was Aotearoa 350 campaign and movement support manager Adam Curry on the government's recent change of stance on carbon neutral benchmarks.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/becasts.